Welcome to the Lost Dot Podcast and the 10th edition of the Transcontinental Race, supported by our race partners, Farah Cycling, Pedaled, Apadura, Komoot, and Peak Design. It's day 6 at TCR 10, and our three leading riders have all completed the third parkour and passed through Control Point 3 near the southern border of Kosovo. Having been first to reach Control Points 1 and 2, Robin Gemperla, cap number 2, was once again the rider to arrive and get their brevet card stamped at CP3 first. He was followed by Abdullah Zainab, cap 21, and Christoph Strasser, cap number 1. Our team in Control Car 1 caught up with Christoph, who has eyes on reaching Greece by the end of the day.
It was perfect because I was at the entrance to the parkour at 1 in the morning, and was the best time to sleep and now stay awake and have a fast day would be my plan.
And where do you hope to make to by evening?
I have to look at the map. The only thing I know is I have to push for 20 hours and rest for 3 hours and keep the stoppage time at about 1 hour. That's all I know. And where I end up in the evening, no idea. Somewhere in Greece maybe. But maybe I'm wrong.
And the puncture that you had in your pump, have you got a new pump now?
Not yet, but I think Greece has some bicycle stores. But I made an MacGyver concept, so I can fix all the problems. I have a lot of stuff in my bag, so maybe a little more than the other people, at least the front racers. But the good thing is I can help myself if something bad happens.
Last night, race reporter Emma also spoke to Abdullah before he got some rest and also pushed south towards North Macedonia.
I'm just going to keep riding and find somewhere to sleep, but I just hope that it's not cold. I feel like buying pyjamas. Pyjamas. You normally like track pants. Yeah. I think you're going to see me in track pants tomorrow. Don't be surprised. And a pair of shorts.
You've got a little Palestine flag on your jersey.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about that and why it's on there?
Oh, my mum's Palestinian. So I just thought it was the right time to put it on my jersey, obviously with what's going on. So, yeah.
How does it make you feel when you wear it?
It makes me feel indestructible. It just makes me feel like I can't complain. Like if I start complaining, I just feel like, what are you complaining? Just go, we can't. Even when I'm like shivering, I'm like, stop complaining about it. So, yeah, it's empowering.
Further back, Anna Kolkvist, cap 223, is riding a great race and is currently the third fastest woman at TCR number 10.
At the moment, I'm actually just riding my own race. I think not looking at the tracker helps. Like, I've looked at your guys' like Instagram posts, and that's about it. That's the only way I've been like getting my information.
And what's your highlight been so far?
Oh God, what's my highlight been so far? Yesterday was gorgeous because I was getting a bit of energy back, and it was flat after the first checkpoint.
Was that going through Croatia?
That was going through, yeah, Croatia, exactly. Vršič Pass was beautiful though. That was the first place that was the first proper like cycling climb that I ever did on my on a tour. So it's nice to be back though.
As always, Dot Watchers have been taking an interest in the bike choices and setups of our riders out on the roads and trails. Baz Flaskamp, cap 213, has opted for a particularly unique, somewhat DIY frame bag for TCR number 10.
I'm glad we bumped into you because I spotted your bike at registration and I thought that is a wild frame bag. So it looks like it's kind of made out of cling film or sellotape. Can you tell me a bit more about it?
Yes, that's basically, it's just a tape, sellotape? When I'm taping it tight, my legs don't rub against it. It's really tight. I had a normal frame bag before, but my legs always rubbed against it. And this works perfect so far.
You've wrapped it straight around the frame.
The last opening, which can be closed off, is Velcro.
And it's just full of what you'd normally stick in a frame bag. So you've got some bottles of juice and...
Yes, mainly bottles.
Some repair kit, yeah. That kind of thing.
And my clothing for easy access.
How much have you tested it before the race?
Well, since this winter. So 10,000 kilometers or something like that.
Genius.
Our team in Control Car 2 are now positioned at the second control point in the Alpine peaks of Bjelašnica, Bosnia, to welcome those riders who reach the milestone this afternoon. To get there, they have to tackle a pretty gnarly stretch of gravel parkour, which includes parts where the best option may be to embark on a little hiker bike. Race coordinator Andrew Phillips spoke to Aldiana, who owns the hotel and setting for CP2.
You've got all these cyclists coming through your business. What do you think about what they're doing?
They are very brave people, and they have some mentally and bodily strongness. They are very nice and kind. Come, something to eat. They are not hard, yes.
And what can you tell us about Bjelašnica?
Some years ago, in 1984, there was a Olympic Games here. A lot of guests are coming, yeah, as you can see, these who are riding bicycles and else. They usually come for walk. And Bjelašnica has a lot of nice trips and ways where you can walk and see nice nature.
As riders begin to arrive, race reporter Hannah Larbalestier is ready to ask them how they're feeling. Stuart Gillett, Cap 82.
Can you describe what the parkour has been like so far? So we're at CP2 now, which is roughly two-thirds of the way along the parkour.
Yeah, but so the first part, you come out of the village, I can't remember the name of it now, but it is literally 45 degrees of rubble. It's not gravel at all, so you can get up bits of it, and I slipped and fell. I got a bit of a graze on my knee. You end up pushing it for sections. It flattens out on the top, which is lovely, but then you sort of descend again and you have to keep getting off for the rough sections. So it's really tough, really tough.
Florian Thiessen, Cap 235.
How are you enjoying the parkour so far?
Oh, I liked it very much. Yeah, it was beautiful. Bit of walking involved, but besides that, yeah, beautiful.
And you don't mind having to push your bike?
No.
I guess at this stage in the race, an excuse to get out of the saddle and stretch the legs.
Sometimes a good opportunity, right. Yeah. Also, I think that I'm getting to like Bosnia a lot more this year. I think it's showing its prettier sides, yeah, like this, and yeah.
Is that just because you're taking slightly different routes?
Yeah, it's a different route, different part of the country, I guess.
Yeah. Jakob Schultz, Cap 156.
And how's your ride going so far?
Good. Until this parkour, but until it has been good. Feel good.
What comments have you got about the parkour?
Well, I was not at all prepared for something like that. So I walked in my without shoes all the way up and all the way down.
No shoes.
Because you're in road shoes.
I'm in road shoes. Not really suitable for that.
Do you have normal shoes to wear?
Well, I was walking in my in socks, so I have no socks left, but I have my shoes.
And how about the rest of your race? How else have you been enjoying it?
Oh, very much indeed. Yeah, first time in this part of Europe. I really enjoyed Slovenia, Croatia, and actually also yesterday in from the border down to, I don't know, Seneca. It was really nice.
Anyone who's followed the transcontinental race before will know that the riders experience a huge shift in culture, terrain, and perspective as they move from Western Europe into the Balkans and beyond. They are entering TCR's heartlands. Samuel Weitman, Cap 226.
I see you've got a couple of inner tubes strapped to the back of your saddlebag. Were you having some problems with punctures on the parkour?
Yeah, I cut my tire right at the beginning after like 2K or so on the uphill, and it just blew. And yeah, then I fixed it and that's what's left of it.
How else is the rest of your race going?
I'd say good so far. I'm happy. I like Bosnia a lot. I've been here before and I always like to cycle here, so it's great.
What is it about Bosnia that you like so much?
I think it's that it feels a bit different than the rest of Europe or the Balkans. Like in Croatia or Slovenia, you don't, or I don't see a big difference between Germany, Austria, and then in Bosnia. I think things change a bit.
And in what way?
I think it gets a bit more rural, the pace is a bit slower. People often don't speak the English or so, and you have to kind of change to sign language. Yeah, but they're all really friendly, and they always let me use their bathrooms at the gas stations.
While some of our riders prefer the smooth tarmac to the tricky gravel terrain, there are also those for who it's a more natural surface to ride on. Timo Rusterberg, Cap 127.
And how's your race going?
Not so good so far. So I have like two mechanicals in the first night. And after day two, it was like, yeah, pain game. I was not able to see it anymore. So half of the day is like a riding state. And yeah, but yesterday I decided to take it easy and enjoy the beautiful landscape. And now it's a bit like more tourist mode and yeah, enjoying TCR, so it's fine.
And did you enjoy the Bialaschnitsa parkour too?
Surprisingly, yes. I'm coming from gravel racing, so that feels like home. I have normally fixed routes and gravel and a lot of hike bike and everything. So yeah, it was for me quite okay and nice. Weather is good. And now we will see the rest of the parkour. And after that, I can tell you again if it was good or not. But at the moment, it's quite fair. So we know all we have to put a push off the bike. And but overall, quite good.
Can I ask your name and cap number?
Pierre-Yves Rabard, cap 36.
And how's your ride going so far?
Not too bad. My strategy has always been ride slowly and don't step long. So, yeah, that's it.
And how about the parkour that you're tackling at the moment? How have you been finding that?
I was expecting it. So a bit of a mix of walking and riding. So, yeah, I enjoyed it. The weather is nice. It's not too hot. And, yeah.
And you're not too bothered about having to get off your bike and push for a bit?
No, I was expecting it. So I did the Transcontinental 2 years ago, and we had a parkour in the Carpathian Mountains in Romania. I did it at night, and I guess I walked two-thirds of the 45 kilometers of the parkour. So this one is nice, yeah.
This one, half an hour of hike a bike isn't too much to deal with.
Yeah.
To cycle such long distances, each rider must refuel regularly and ensure that their body has all the nutrients it needs to keep moving effectively. Race coordinator Andrew decided to speak to Stuart Gillett again after hearing his lunchtime order.
So I couldn't help but overhear as you went up to pay for your lunch that you had to declare to the woman in the kitchen that you've had 3 ice creams in a row. Can you tell me about that?
Yeah, I'm not feeling very good about myself at this moment. It's a particular low point of the race, but they're bloody delicious. So hungry, it's unbelievable. You just get that point where you just can't stop. You just have to keep going and going and going. You're so physically depleted of just fuel. It doesn't matter what it is, but ice creams are particularly good today.
Mike Fawcett, Cap 242.
Yeah, I'm happy. I was 39th through checkpoint one, and I think they just said I'm 53rd or 55th, so I've lost a few places, but I'm hoping to make them back up again. And I had a good sleep last night, so feeling good. Yeah.
And how about the parkour here? How have you been finding the gravel?
I actually love the gravel. Yeah, I loved it. I've not really ridden gravel before, but yeah, I thought it was great. I think I passed about four or five people, so that's probably why I loved it. They were walking up and I was managing to stay on the bike most of it, so yeah.
And what are you looking forward to that's coming up next?
Getting straight back on the bike, which is what I'm going to do now.
It's funny, most people don't say that. Yeah, 1,500 really? Kilometres into a race, or however far in we are.
Yeah, I'm going to try and get ahead, because I'm feeling good, so I want to make the most of it.
Race reporter Emma Cole is in Control Car 1, tracking our three leading riders, who are now travelling beneath the beating hot sun of Southern Europe.
We are in northern Macedonia, heading to the Greek border. We've got Robin Gemperla out in front, absolutely storming it. He's already got about 40k on Abdullah, considering that last night Abdullah was really edging in on him. At one point closed the gap, but now it has extended to 40 kilometres. Interestingly, Robin has still slept a lot more than Abdullah. And we've also got Christoph Strasser, who we are currently waiting for as he edges his way towards the Greek border. So these are the top current three. The rest of the other chasing pack are navigating their way across Kosovo. So yeah, the leading trio are still going well.
Back to Control Point 2, and race reporter Hannah speaks to two of our volunteers at this year's Transcontinental Race, Judith Gordon and Chris Gellhorn. Yes.
And what's motivated both of you to volunteer here?
I just love the whole of the ultra scene, and TCR is like the pinnacle of all the races. So to come here, be involved, and see some of the the best riders in the world who coming through, like your Christoph Strassers and that. It's been eye opening, and to talk to them and to see how they go about planning and looking at the bikes all the time, seeing. Yeah. But no, it's been cool. So it's. For me, it was just a bit of a teaching and an experience to see what goes on in the minds of these people who, ordinary people doing extraordinary things. So
I've dot watched since like the fourth edition, so I've been, and I saw on the social media last year there was a chance to volunteer at the start, and I thought that's something I could fit in around family life at home, so I did that, and then this time it's time away from the family again, so a bit of me time. I love cycling. I've always got this idea in my head that maybe one day I could do the TCR. I think reality is I actually won't, but the dream still lives on.
Tim Vinance, Cat 174, is another rider to make it to Control Point 2. This is his first TCR.
When did you first hear about the TCR?
Oh, I read an article, I think, a few years ago about the battle between Christophe Allegaert and Michael. And I was very interesting in the race, and I built it up. And I started to ride Audax 600s. I did twice PBB. And then this year I thought, okay, I'm closer with the 50 as with the 40. It's now the moment to do. And now I decide to do it.
And it feels good to finally be here?
Oh yeah, it's good, it's nice.
So tell me about the artwork on your bike.
I asked my daughter to make some drawings, and she made two flames, my fork, and here on the here she wrote a text for me, but it's in Dutch. It means good luck, daddy.
Oh, that's very cute. How old is she?
11.
Does she ride bikes?
Wait. Yeah, she rides bike as family. We do bikepacking trips as well. Last year we went to Thailand by bike. We did Christmas in Thailand for 2 weeks. When she was a baby, she was sitting in the chariot. We did Costa Rica, Panama, the 1200 kilometer bikepacking. Yeah, so.
Do you think in 10 years' time we might see her at the TCR?
I don't know. She is more creative as sportive.
Yeah. She'll be very proud of you.
Always. Yeah. A daddy and a daughter, that's something special.
Hans Vierten, Cap 187.
How's your race going?
Oh, to Bosnia was nice. When Bosnia start, it's hard for me. I have small tires. 8:28, and so it's not easy about the gravel. And I make some mistake with his routing, and also a lot of gravel. So yeah, it's TCR.
Gravel
and
Vulcans.
Yeah.
Have you raced before at TCR?
Yeah, last year, but was I have to scratch in Slovenia. So two more countries for me. I have some knee pain. Now my knee is okay. My bike has an issue, but we'll see what happened. Yeah.
Jamie Wilson, cap number 4, continues to power forwards as the second fastest woman in the race, still trying to catch cap number 10, Jana Kessenheimer. After technical issues earlier in the race, she's now dealing with another common TCR problem to solve, saddle sores.
Did you do anything to make it better, or you just got used to it?
Shuffled loads, and then eventually, I think you just get used to it. So I went on the Vipassana meditation course about 2 years ago or something, and it's like a 10-day silent retreat, and it involves you start at 4 in the morning till 10 p.m. meditating, and it's kind of like body scanning. So it sounds so cheesy, but I used that technique in order to, like, you concentrate on, like, each sort of almost, like, the smallest part of the body that you can, and then you can't actually find the pain. And by not being able to specifically pinpoint it, it kind of, like, goes away almost. It's hard to explain, but you should go on a course, try it, and, yeah, cycle 2000K, get a saddle sore, and let me know if it works for you as well.
If you've been following the race so far, you'll know that Victor Bassoni, cap 232, had to do a heartbreaking 550-kilometre round trip to retrieve a forgotten passport and wallet. It's the sort of thing that couldn't possibly happen again, right?
So we're standing on a climb just before Bielasznica, or just after Bielasznica, depending on what direction you're travelling. And we're waiting for Mark Kowalski, who left his passport and brevet card at the control point. And we know he called our comms manager. He thought about scratching. He was talking about getting transport back and getting his passport and being out of GC or scratching altogether. But we can see him riding his bike slowly but surely up the hill towards us. And it looks like he's summoned the resolve to go back, pedal all the way back, get it, and get back out on his journey to Istanbul. So I guess we're here to see how he's feeling after all that.
So you decided to make the trip back to the control point?
I didn't have a choice. There was no way to get my passport.
And you're going to carry on after this?
Yeah, I think, yeah. I was going to carry on anyway, but I need my passport, and there's no way to carry on without your passport.
Was there a moment of realization when you suddenly realized you'd lost it? Did you get that sinking, lurching feeling in your stomach?
Yeah, who doesn't? I went to pay for my two banana ice creams and artificially colored orange soda, and I told the lady, or mimed to the woman, that I had no money, or I had lost my wallet and I need to go check outside, and at which point she was a little angry, I guess, I don't know. Because I saw it in my mind's eye, because I actually left the checkpoint, like, remembering, well, obviously the situation with the other rider, and I visually remembered putting my passport in my bag and thought, yeah, no, it's fine. Like, I'm not even going to check because I know it's in there. And then 4 hours later, I didn't scream as loud as in TCR 9 when I thought my race was over. Just kind of accepted it. But many, including John and my girlfriend Myrna, were supportive and, you know, trying to convince me to pick things up again and go back.
The sun has set on day 6 at TCR number 10. Here's Emma with a quick summary of where things stand.
We have had another day of absolutely brilliant racing. Our trio in the front continue with Robin Gemperla leading the charge. About 40 kilometres behind, we've got Abdullah Zainab, and just behind him, Christoph Strasser. Further back, Tim De Vita has made some seriously good progress, coming up into fourth place, while in Bulgaria, David Shahn is taking a bit more of a unique route towards Turkey. Further back, we've got lots of riders heading towards CP2, and we've got our first woman, Jana Kessenheimer, heading towards CP3. The race is really hotting up, and so is the temperature, so it's going to be really interesting to see how riders react to the challenges that lie ahead.
Join us in our next episode for another collection of TCR stories, as the main field of riders plough onwards through Montenegro, Serbia, and eventually Kosovo, the setting for Control Point 3. With our three leading riders already through CP3 and into Greece, things are about to get spicy as Turkey and Control Point 4 await. Remember, you can read Emma's daily race reports from the Road on the Lost Stop website and get regular updates across all our social media channels. Thanks to our race partners, Farah Cycling, Pedaled, Apadura, Komoot, and Peak Design. Speaking of race partners, to conclude today's episode, we have a short interview with Josie Olchin from Apadura, which was recorded a couple of days ago. She spoke to Taylor Doyle, media manager at Lost Dot.
I've got to say, Josie, the ambassadors in this race from Apadura are absolutely smashing it. You must be just like so proud.
It's absolutely incredible, and obviously such a privilege that that riders like these are choosing to use Apadura products for their races. It's actually a huge honor, but also incredibly exciting.
Yes. Well, let's dive in and break it down. I mean, you've literally got Robin Gemperle head in the front of the race pretty much straight from the gate. And it's so great to see, like, because he was, you know, at TCR number 8 where he came 8th, and then last year, like, coming second but battling it with Christoph at the front for so much of the race. What do you reckon for TCR 10 and the rest of Europe's race?
It's been so amazing actually to see Robin sort of go through the stages to get where he is, now. I suppose for his first TCR in 2022, TCR number 8. He's been very vocal about, you know, this was his explosion onto the ultra scene. And I think he commented yesterday on one of the Transcontinental Instagram stories that you know, that was his experiment. The TCR last year was the defeat, and this year he's hoping for the win. And it's actually quite rare that you get to see this like arc of a rider going from their sort of beginnings in the ultra distance scene to maybe the pinnacle of their career. So that's been really, really wonderful. And also very interesting to see how his setup and gear choices have changed, or actually maybe not changed that much. Since his first TCR. We're all really hoping, we're all cheering him on in the office. So we're really hoping that this is the year, because we all know how much he really wants this win, and it would be so great if he did.
Harry, have you been watching Christoph?
Oh yeah, absolutely. As a previous two-time TCR winner, you know, he has such a dialed setup. He knows exactly what he's doing. He's incredibly meticulous about everything. He's a super planner. He just likes to minimize risk. He knows what he's good at. Like he is so focused. Like he knows what he needs to do. But I think what's been interesting at this TCR is how much good luck and bad luck can come can come into it. You know, you can be the strongest rider in the scene, but you know, you have one bad day, you get a puncture, you lose something, you encounter a road closure, and it's that sort of thing that you just can't plan for. And that's where your kind of response to problems, the way you problem solve, is such a big part of your strategy for a race like this. And I think Christoph had a few unexpected things happen in the very first part of this race. But you know, he's applied his kind of unmistakable kind of meticulousness to his problem solving, and he is now storming ahead.
Yeah.
I've no doubt that he is going to catch up and close that gap.
Can you tell us about Abdullah? I hadn't known about him before this year, so I'd love to hear about his ambassadorship from your side.
Yeah, Abdullah is such an enigma. I think a few comments before the TCR were made that, you know, he doesn't have a super full calendar of ultra distance races, but when he does, he just absolutely goes for it. He goes all in, and he's so focused, which is a really amazing way to do races. Some of you may have heard of Abdullah from the Rhino Run a few years ago. He won, but he had this amazing story that he was fixing a mechanical just in the middle of the desert, and he had lost one tiny screw, I think, and without that screw, like, he couldn't put his bike back together.
Wow.
He couldn't move forward. And he was in the lead at this point, and I think he spent like 3 hours in the middle of the desert looking on the floor for this tiny screw, knowing that, you know, the gap was being closed behind him. And he found it, and he carried on, and he won.
Wow.
But it just goes to show that he is a rider with just amazing mental resilience, and to have the mindfulness to stay calm and not lose it and not just throw a thing away and be like, oh, I'm scratching, this is it. Like, that's absolutely incredible.
TCR number 10 is holding such a special place in people's hearts, especially those who have ridden the race in the past. And, you know, I'm sure it's very special also for those who it's their first time. But there is something so celebratory about a decade of racing. And yeah, we're also celebrating Afidura's involvement as well with that. Being around and doing this together for so long.
It's always, you know, obviously the bikepacking calendar is, you know, it's all year round, and there's loads of amazing races going on, but the TCR honestly is always such a highlight for us. And it's something that, you know, all of the Apertura staff kind of get behind, and it's just a really nice sort of coming together of a shared interest. And also, we're just super nerdy about it, which is really nice.